What I'm fixing to tell you has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon this morning, but it'll make you smile anyway. These young boys always come up here and share something with me every Sunday morning, and I just love it. And I know it terrifies you parents to death because you're so afraid of what they're going to tell me. So I said to one of them this morning, I said, "Man, you look like you're sporting a new do." Talking about his hair, you know. He said, "Yeah." He said, "I got some gel in it, and it's blue. And if I rub it here on my forehead, I look like a Smurf." So if you ever wonder what me and these guys converse about and things like that, it's things along those right there. But I wouldn't have it any other way. I want them to always feel real comfortable with me, and any pastor ought to feel that way. Today, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis. Be real easy to find, the very first book in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis. Last Sunday, we looked at an Old Testament, a very familiar Old Testament story about Jeremiah when he goes down to the potter's house and the vision that he had and how God instructed him through that and gave him understanding and what it meant to you and I. Well, today we're going to look at another Old Testament story that's very familiar, and we say it a lot of times and talk about it sometimes. And it, again, it's one of those stories that if you grew up in church, you always have heard the story of the Tower of Babel, and you learned about it in Sunday school and vacation Bible school and different things like that. But that story is a real old story, but it says something to us. It says a lot to us, really. It's in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 11, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Genesis chapter number 11. "And the whole earth was one language and of one speech. Came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found the plains of the land of Shinar. And they dwelt there. They said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and slime for the mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heavens. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' The Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built. The Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them for which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they might not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did confound the languages of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the whole earth." So let's read in verses 1 through 9 there in chapter 11, the book of Genesis. And again, like I said, it's a pretty familiar story. But the question that I want to ask you and I this morning: man's plan or God's purpose? Man's plan or God's purpose? Keep that thought in your mind, if you would, please. Let's bow our heads. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this time that we are come together to worship you. We pray this morning that our hearts would be open and our minds would be receptive to your word. Lord, help us to clear everything out for just a few moments and continue to worship you and to listen, Lord, to your word as it speaks to every one of us today. And God, I pray as your word speaks to us, Lord, that we would take your word and apply it to our life as we journey through life. God, we pray again for every request that's been made known to us. But Lord, first and foremost and above everything, God, We pray for those that are out of relationship with you. We pray for those that have never come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for a world that is lost and perishing today. God, we pray for those folks, and we pray today if there is anyone here in our presence that's never come to know you as Lord and Savior in their life, that this would be the day that they would accept you and trust you as just that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Man's plans are God's purpose. And when we look at this, hopefully you'll understand what I mean by all of that. And we're going to take just a moment and get the proper setting and the context of everything that was happening in that particular day. And then we're going to look at how that this passage of Scripture will apply to you and I. I could ask you this question even today. We could ask all of us this. How are you doing when it comes to trusting God? When it comes to being obedient to God? When it comes to God having a plan for your life and having something that He has really instructed you or all of us or instructed you and I as a church to do? How are we doing when it comes to trusting God? Now, first of all, there's one thing that I want you to really understand. The era of this story that is so many times thought by people, this is the era of the story, is when people begin to think that everybody was so excited about who God was that they had determined in themselves that they were going to build a tower that would reach to the heavens. That is not what the story is teaching. It's what the story says, that they would build a tower that would reach into the heavens, but it in no ways, and you'll see this in a moment when we read and look at these scriptures real closely, you'll see their idea was not to become and to get closer to God. It was not that their desire was to be closer to God, but really and truly, it's a story about a rebellion against God and rebelling in what God had instructed those people to do. It was rebellion. It was an act of rebellion. If you go back 350 years prior to this, where you begin reading this story, it would have been at the end of the time of the flood in Genesis chapter number 9. And you remember when Noah and his family comes off of the ark, and God, the first thing tells them to do is to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the whole earth. That was what God had told them to do. Now, that was about 350 years prior to where we begin reading that in the book of Genesis today. So there they was, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives, and that is all that has gotten off of the ark. And now you have come 350 years, and I don't know exactly what the population would have been at that time, but there was at least 78 families, if you read the genealogy that's listed in the Bible, you'll find that there's at least 78 families that's present there, that would be present. And if you want to understand how quickly things multiply, just think about America itself. When about 1620 in Jamestown, I think there was less than 300 people in colony in the colonies, and then 100 years later, there's almost 500,000 people. So that's so you can understand how quickly population really grows. So in that 350 years, there had been a large number of people. The earth was very populous at that time, and there was this group, and they had left where they were at, and they had come to a very fertile area, that Shinar that it's talking about, that's Mesopotamia in the Bible, or in modern terms that you and I would better understand. It's an area, if you look at a map, you'd see the Euphrates River and the Tigris River, and it would be right there. It'd be where modern-day Baghdad is today. That's where that area is at. And so that was there. And so Bob Diffenbaugh, he's a very scholarly man. He said they left their tents for townhomes, and basically that's what they did. And so they come together, and everybody, now remember, everybody is speaking this one language here, okay? It's a universal language. They're all speaking the same. There's nothing wrong with that. But now, you're going to see where the problem begins. And this is why I tell you and I that it's so important that we know what God's purpose is instead of man's plans. Listen what they begin to do. When you look at verse number 2, it says, as it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found the plains of the land of Shinar. And that's the area that I just told you about. And they began to dwell there and to stay in this place where they had come to. And it was really, when now you're going to see that this is the beginning of their first act of disobedience. Because remember what I said that God had told them to do. God had told them to fill the earth. And they had chosen to stay in one little group and in one little compound. Now, what was wrong with that? What in the world would be wrong with everybody just staying together? Well, you got to always remember, God knows best. Amen? Always. And if you fill an area with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, what's going to begin to happen? You're going to have disease. You're going to have problems. And first, the second thing is you're not doing what God said, because He said fill the whole earth. So God knew what He was talking about. They wouldn't have had the sanitary conditions and things, the capabilities that you and I have today. So God knows what He's always doing. But these folks, they said one to another. Now listen, the other thing is you notice here, nothing is ever said about anybody consulting with God, because God had already instructed them what to do. And you find nowhere in this passage of Scripture where anybody said, Lord, is this Your will? God, is this what You want us to do here? God, should we just move to this area, and should we just build us a city here? And Lord, let us build us a great tower also. Now, you've got to remember, too, that there's other groups, there's other people groups there because of the time that has passed and the spreading of families. And perhaps there was other people, too, and other groups that had built these monuments and these towers, and they looked impressive. And so what did these people wanted to do? They wanted to look like everybody else, and they wanted to impress their neighbors around them, and they wanted something impressive also. And so they thought within themselves, well, the best thing we can do, we'll just take clay. We'll make our own bricks. And we will do what man can do. They said one to another, go, let us make brick. They burned them thoroughly. And so they have brick. Again, that's their man's trusting in his own ability. Okay, remember that. Never do they invoke God. Never do they ask God. We're gonna build us a tower so that we will be remembered, and so people will know who we are, and it's gonna be all about us. And nowhere in that passage will you ever find that their idea was to build a tower that they could get close to God. That was absolutely not what those people were trying to do. They were simply trying to build a tower where they would be recognized, and where they would be seen, and where they would be honored, and where they would have people that would look at them and say to other folks, perhaps, look at what they have done. Look at their accomplishment. Look at what they have achieved in life. In fact, if you go to that region even today, they call them ziggurats. Ziggurats. And that's these towers that are built in that area that was built back in this time era and stuff that people built, and their whole idea behind building and doing stuff like that was to be impressive to other people around them. In other words, was so that people could look, just like I said, and say, look here, see what we have done, see what we have accomplished in life, and never thinking about what God's plan is. You and I can fall into the same trap. Look at what I've done. It was never an idea. Never was this an idea to get closer to God. But it's simply, you know, really plainly put, it's arrogance, it's rebellion, and it's pride. And that actually, instead of getting them closer to God, it drives them further and further away from God. In life, when we become so arrogant that we think we don't need God or that we don't need His plan in our life, it is going to do nothing but drive us further and further away from God. And that's exactly what was happening to those people. We think about in relation of somebody building a tall tower, surely they'd be getting closer to God. That couldn't nothing be further than the truth from that. They were getting further and further away from God because they had an idea in their own head and in their own mind, and they thought they could make something work without ever invoking God or without ever asking God if this was His plan and what He wanted for them to do. And they said, let's go build this tower. Let's go build a city whose top may reach into heaven. Now listen to what it said, verse 4. Let us make us a name. Let us make us a name. It never says anything about let's build this tower that would in some way incorporate and honor God in some way. It was all about those people and what they wanted. Had absolutely nothing whatsoever to do with a man's desire to become closer to God. It was man's plan instead of God's purpose. God has a purpose, like I said, for every one of us, but so many times we want to go with man's plans instead of God's purpose. And their motive was just simply, you know, to make a name for themselves, that people would look at them and take note and say, look what those folks over there have done. Look what they have accomplished in life. But then, when you see all of this happening, God begins to enter the picture. I know it was Woody Allen. Woody Allen was the one that said, if you want to make God laugh, tell Him your plans. Now, can't you imagine when God come down and saw what these people were doing, you can't help but wonder and think, I wonder if God just snickered a little bit at the idea that these folks had and what they were trying to do. I'd almost say that He did. Doesn't tell us that He did, but it's my thoughts anyway. But what does God see? He sees self-confidence in their own abilities. Listen, I don't think there's anything that can drive any of us further and further away from God than to have self-confidence and to think that you can do it on your own, that you can make it, that you can accomplish it, that really and truly, you know, you don't have no need for God in your life. And yet we live in a world today that people can't even understand from the great lessons like this right here that man does need God. Man needs God very desperately. And listen, folks, this is how I believe the Bible, and I believe that this is how we have the languages that we have today. There's thousands and thousands of languages, known languages in the world today. But do you remember what I told you? There's about 78 families that got off of that. And there could have been more, okay, but that's just what's listed. But there is less than, I believe the number is 100 and less, or under 100, that would tie all of these languages back to a root of about 100 languages. You understand what I'm saying? So it just makes the Bible even more and more true. So how does this apply to you and I? Well, first of all, remember when you read those last few verses, and God has come down and God enters the picture and God begins to see what's going on. Understand and realize this. It does not matter what man's plan is. God's purpose will always prevail. Now, it may not seem like that sometimes, because you think about God's plan and the plan of salvation and the hope that's found in Christ. Well, from the very beginning, from the birth of Christ until his death at Calvary. What had humanity tried to do? What had so many men and people tried to do throughout that time? They had tried to stop or interfere with the purpose that God had in order to bring redemption to all of humanity. Did God succeed and pass the test, or did man stop him? God won, and he always will. Now, I believe in free will. I think all of us believes in free will, but free will is limited to some degree. You can have free will in your life, and you can do this and you can do that, but ultimately God's purpose is going to win out in this world. And it did in this occasion. You're not going to ever stop what God's ultimate plan is. The plan of God through Jesus Christ has not been interrupted. It has not been stopped. God's purpose to reach humanity, God's purpose to save people, has not been stopped by anyone. There may have been some hindrances along the way, but there has nobody been able to stop what God said that he was going to do, because it was his purpose. And God has a purpose today for every single one of us. One other thing that you can take away from this, and you can learn also, unity is a very good thing. But I'm going to say something. Unity does not always make it right. You can be unified in a lot of things. You can say, oh, you know what? We are 100% behind this. Well, it don't matter if you're 100% behind it, if it isn't God's purpose. It doesn't matter if a church says, oh, you know what, we are 100% going to do this right here. Well, I want to ask you something. Is it 100% a part of God's plan, or is it your plan and you've decided because you're unified in it that therefore it must be God's plan? See, that's a mistake that sometimes folks make. They think, well, you know what? We're all unified in this. Surely this is the right thing to do. And that's exactly what those folks saw. They were unified in what they were doing. But that's still, you can't sacrifice the truths of God for the sake of unity. Won't work. Never will work. Never has worked. One time, years and years ago in my ministry, I was approached by some folks, and they wanted to start this community of fellowship of all religions, and they wanted me to be a part of it. And I said no. I said, why not? I said, because I don't associate and believe what some of these folks believe. Now was I talking about Methodist and Pentecostals and Four Square Gospel or a Presbyterian? No, I absolutely was not. But it was some folks that had no idea who Jesus was. Didn't preach anything about Jesus. And I absolutely was not going to connect my name to it. That's all there were to it. I don't care how good the idea sounded. And see, they thought that unity, and that sounded real good. I'm not going to share my pulpit with a Muslim. I'll just go ahead and say it. Absolutely not. No way. I'm not going to be unified in something like that and say, because if I do, then I'm saying that, you know what, that I can sacrifice God's truths and for the sake of unity, say it's okay. Absolutely not. You cannot do that. Never. So unity doesn't necessarily always make something right. So God disperses those people and confuses their language and everything. But you know what I find so marvelous about this too? There is a universal language in this world today. There's a universal language that's very universal, and it's when you talk about Jesus, it's a universal thing. Somebody said, well, now, well, hold on, preacher. You speak English, and you mean to tell me, and now I don't want to get into an area that somebody would have a problem with. But the only thing that I can tell you is in the second chapter of the book of Acts on that particular day. And can God cause it to happen again? Yes, He can. I am by no means instituting or thinking that you and I should start speaking in other tongues or anything. That is not what I'm talking about. But on that occasion and on that time when that man, when Peter stood and when he preached and when those that were there heard it, they heard in their own language because God worked and moved in a very powerful way in the name of Jesus. So I will say today that the name of Jesus is very much a universal language in this world that you and I live in today. Very universal. The next thing I want you to understand that we take away from this, did you catch what I said? They said they'd make bricks. It was all man-made. Everything. See, when you go back, if you go back earlier, they had used God-made materials. Stone, the wood that Noah used to make the ark was grown and made by God Himself. But they had to make their brick. It was man-made. Everything was wrong about this because it was all man's idea and man-made. It was man's plan and never God's purpose. And that's where you and I will run into trouble in our life and have problems in our own lives when it becomes all man-made and never about God's purpose. They had, you know what it was? It was synthetic material. There's a lot of synthetic religion in the world today. A lot of synthetic. It's not the real deal. It's not the real stuff. It's self-destructive and delusional to think that we don't need God, folks. And my goodness, our world is getting more and more like that today. I don't want to turn this in, and I'm not going to. But everything that our Congress is trying to do right now, for the most part, you know what I think it is? Man-made. Promising everything in the world. That Fab Four is going to get it. We're going to all be all right after they get everything figured out for us. You know what, really and truly, do you know what we need in America today instead of man-made synthetic? We need people down on their knees. I wonder when the last time a congressman or woman really got down on their knees and said, Lord, what would be best for America today? What would be best? Instead of my plans, instead of me trying to build, what's your purpose, God? And then I want to bring it home to every one of us today. How often do we get down on our knees and say, God, what is your purpose for my life? I've tried my plans, and it seems like my plans is never working. Because God has a purpose for every single one of us. Now, just hope and pray He'll let me get back up. He's faithful. Always. Their plan didn't work because it wasn't God's purpose, folks. Plans in a church will never work if it's not God's purpose. Plans in your family will never work if it's not God's purpose. Plans in your life will never work if it's not God's purpose for your life. And that was a problem that you see in the story there. They chose to try to make it work on their own, and it just will not work. Ronnie, get us a song. Congregation, please stand. If you're here today and you have never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, then I invite you to come this morning and quit trying to make plans yourself and plan out your life and realize today that God has a purpose for you. And the beginning point of that purpose in your life is a relationship with Christ. That's the beginning point of any of us's life for the purpose that God has for us in our life. You have to begin somewhere. And the beginning point and the starting place in anybody's life is a relationship with Christ. We want to give you that opportunity this morning.